two.
Whoa.
Recording.
Whoa. Whoa. Who do we have here? Whoa.
I'm Eric.
I'm Patrice. This is the White Chocolate Show. Thank you guys for coming out.
Boop, 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 boop.
Listening to us this week.
Air horns, dude.
Air horns. We really need to get those air horns.
And the people in the office next door would fucking kill us, dude.
Probably. But you know what?
Fuck it,
one day at a time. One day at a time.
YOLO, right?
All right. And then today we have Petty Penguin in the building.
So what's up?
Oh, man.
How you doing,
dude?
My man?
Straight.
You straight? Chill. All right. Yeah. We've been just like jamming out to your music all morning.
I
so,
feel
yeah.
I jam out to my music every morning.
All right.
That's the way to live, bro.
That is the way to live, to jam out to your own shit.
That's when you know you make good stuff. When
yeah.
You can listen to it and you actually like it.
Yeah. Oh, these are facts.
I used to make tracks that I wouldn't really listen to.
Yeah.
I'd make them, put them out. I wouldn't even play them live.
All right.
Now really? I play my music live. I love it.
Okay. That's what's up. Yeah, I mean, I listen to my voice sometimes. I can't even do it on the podcast. Like, I don't re-listen to my shit because I'm like, my voice sounds fucking weird, yeah, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were talking about that with, I think, Zay Zay?
Yeah, Zay Zay's episode.
Yeah, we were talking about, like, how weird voices sound until you find your, like, your actual voice.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
But one of these days, I'm actually going to start picking up cigarettes.
Smoke just like 8 packs a day.
They're disgusting. Just cancer sticks, I promise you right now. So this week, we've chosen not to go with a rapper, but we've gone with a producer. Okay, you've been making beats for a very long time. Where'd you start?
Well, I started back in about 2010. Bought a MacBook. You know, I really wanted to get into it. I've always been down with DJing, but I wanted to learn how to make music. That was the thing. So 2010, I started making beats on GarageBand. It just, you know, it was free.
Yeah,
I didn't know what
dude.
I was doing, so let me try it out. And I started making little hip-hop beats here and there, sampling some things. Started a little rap career that not a lot of people know about. I hit that. It's still on SoundCloud, so you
okay,
know.
Okay, I can check it out. Hidden,
but I'm under a different alias, you know. If I tell you, you can listen to it. But if you don't know, you're never gonna find it.
Okay, gotcha.
So I stopped doing that, and you know, I was like, nah, I'm just not feeling this. Isn't what I want to do. Started making deep house music. That was probably around maybe 2012, 2013. And then once I hit about 21, 22, I started getting out there in the DJ scene. I already knew how to DJ from my father, so.
Shout out to Pops.
Yeah, shout out to Pops. DJ Glow.
So you learned from him.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
DJ Glow sounds like old school.
It was. He used to DJ at, like, Hammer Jacks back in the day when he was down in Baltimore.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, opened up for Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses and stuff. It was crazy.
What the
really?
Fuck?
My dad was hot back in the day.
We got to get him on the podcast, too.
Yeah, he probably has some stories that he probably never told me.
All right.
But, yeah, shout out to Pops. But,
shout out to Pops.
Once I got my first gig at Looney's Pub in College
Loonies.
Park.
Loonies.
Yep.
Yeah. In College Park.
Okay. You know, and it wasn't the scene that I wanted to go for. So it was very interesting. I was just excited that I finally got booked solo, you know.
Yeah.
I played, you know, some people loved it, some people didn't. Kind of like killed my vibe a little bit. I was like, damn, am I really that bad? I didn't think I was that bad. But I wasn't catering to that scene.
Sure.
That's what it was. So my boy actually was like, yo, let's go to this rave. It's free. I was like, what? A free rave? Yeah, I'm down. That's the scene I want to get into. So we went there. Shout out to Tyler. Tyler Lewis. He's the one that put me on to this rave scene.
Mm.
I met the promoter and everything, talked to him. The dude's like, yeah, send me some stuff. I'll try to get you on. I'm like, all right. A couple months later, you know, he finally put me on the opening slot and went over well, you know.
Yeah.
Ever since there, that's been shooting me up. Shout out to Spirit Promo.
Yes.
They're the first promo company in the rave scene and DMV that I work with. And ever since then, I've just been getting nothing but bookings with other promo companies and just building. So,
Wow.
Phil Green. That's the guy that runs it. Shout out to Phil, man.
Philly G.
Phil. I love the shout outs. You know,
yeah.
It's really nice to see that you appreciate all the people that brought you up.
Oh, of course. Phil Green, and shout out to Tim. Tim Willis. Mm. He's one of probably, I would say, the biggest DMV, you know, local DJ around. He knows everybody. He's cool with everybody. Great vibes. He's always helping out up and comers, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of look up to the dude with how he's always helping people out. So
yeah.
Shout out to him, too, because he helped me out with some connections and getting out there, too.
That's interesting.
But yeah, after that, you know, I went with Zero. That was my alias for a little bit. And after a couple years, probably about, you know, 2017, I was always opening up sets, playing house music, but I was more, you know, migrating to club music, Baltimore Club, Jersey Club. Always loved it. Actually, you know, my father put me onto it. It's crazy as much as that sounds, you know, that ghetto Baltimore club music.
Yeah.
My dad was hip to that before it was even hot, like back in the early 2000s, the 90s. Like, he was showing me that when I was a kid. And, you know, everybody at school made fun of me. Like, what the hell is this? Yeah, this is hot. I love it.
This shit's
but,
bomb.
But right. Now it's all over. It's played at festivals and everything. Right. So go look at that. I would fuck with music that no one wanted to fuck with back in the day.
Yeah. Right. Don't you love that, though?
Of course.
Yeah. Dude, like when Harlem Shake came out, I heard about it. Like, I literally like looked at the file download, downloaded that bitch a year before it like started blowing up and people started doing the fucking the shit. And then like I feel like there's a couple other artists that I listen to now. People are like, oh yeah, this is pretty okay. This is okay. Right. And then they're gonna be like, oh fuck, dude, this guy's dope, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. But they're never gonna play those people on the radio and shit like.
Oh, that. Of course not. But that's always how it goes, you know. Yeah. People just want to ride the wave when it gets hot.
Yeah.
You got to stay with it.
Yeah.
So how would you describe your sound now?
My sound now is totally different. You know, it's more hip. It's more a little edgy. You know, it's bouncy. Mm-hmm. It's real, real hype. You know, like the latest thing I dropped was the Jaden Smith remix of Icon. And I mean, not Icon, Ghost. And, you know, I was listening to it one day when it came out, and, you know, it was just banging. Like, and I was like, man, I really just got to put this hype, you know, club edge onto it. Mm-hmm. So me and my boy Quest, you know, shout out to Quest. He, me and him have an EP coming out and everything. We actually met at my job, my day job. And it was funny because both our dads were DJs back in the day. You know, he was producing kind of the same music as me. Just randomly met in our break room. He asked me a question about a vending machine. And then we got to talking, and
you know what sucks about these vending machines? They don't play music.
It was so funny, you know. It was like it's kind of like I feel like me and him were meant to meet because he was a little bit more better than me at producing, so he taught me a lot and showed me this new production program that I use now, Ableton. I've been using Logic.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, Ableton, very hard. You know, it was kind of intimidating, so I really didn't want to dabble in it. But, you know, we used his laptop to make the EP, and I was like, man, I really got to get on this. And my laptop was still the 2010 laptop I talked about from the beginning. I was still rocking that this year. Wow. Just went out. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It's holding me back. So I went out, bought a 2018 MacBook. Downloaded Ableton 10, you know, kind of learned from him, taught myself some things, and now the sound quality in my tracks and how fast I can make a song, 10 times faster, 10 times better than what I was making. Like, I'm able to crank out a track probably in a day.
Shit.
And, yeah, I have tons of stuff lined up that I haven't even released yet, just sitting there. I got a Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
No way!
Song of Storms remix.
Crazy. That,
yep. My boy Calvo, he's putting out a Nintendo EP. And I'm probably making that for that. So that'll be out on his Nintendo EP when we collab on that.
Dude, that's cool. So cool that like people are coming back to the nostalgia and stuff like that.
Yep.
It's so funny because like I remember like when I like early 2000s, like 70s and 80s shit was like kind of retro, but now like 90s is becoming like the retro now. Mm-hmm, and it's like, dude, I was born then.
That's what makes it so good because, you know, we're hip to that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So now that it's hot, it's so easy to take and use because we know what we're looking for. Other people don't know about it. So like, oh shit, this is cool.
Exactly.
But it's like, this is old. This is tight. This is I already knew about this.
Yeah. It's tight. So let's listen to that that Ghost by with the Jaden Smith with Quest.
Yep.
Let's pop that on real quick. Let's see what we got. Ooh.
Yeah, Quest, you know, he did the help me with the vocal chops and setting up the drop for the club. Shout out to Quest. He kills chops on club music.
Really?
Sounds like
it. Adrian, honey, I dash. You spend too much cash. Okay. Screw your bags. I knew that you wouldn't last. I'm in physics class. I knew that you wouldn't ask. She got too much shot. What I'm finna do with all that? Talked to Elon last week. Told him I went too fast. 120 on the dash. I hope that I never crash. Misfits on the map. Drop hits, that's that. Tail hit me with the pass. Swish, nigga, wish I never rapped. Play this in the club for me, for me, for me. Play this in the club for me, for me, for me.
Why are my legs shaking? Is this supposed to happen?
It's meant to happen.
It's meant to happen.
Dude, Baltimore Club is the fucking shit, dude.
It just gets you going, yo.
No matter what, anytime I play this song, you just see people, they just start, you just hear, shit. And then the dance floor, they start coming out, everybody's bobbing. It's, club music is such a great vibe.
It really is.
Yeah, dude. I remember the first time I ever heard club music. I was in like fucking middle school. I think it was like DJ Sega or something.
Yeah, DJ Sega. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my fucking God, dude. I like illegally downloaded all of that shit.
Of course.
Because like, that
was us with LimeWire days.
Well, I actually, my dad was like in the IT. He's like, never, ever download LimeWire. And I was like, BitTorrent. Turns out that's fucking worse. Because we actually got a letter from Verizon. Like, long story short, like, they were like, hey, you better cut this shit out. Otherwise, we're going to fine you $250,000.
Yeah.
I was like, fucking okay, my bad.
Real quick, though. Mm-hmm. Let's play that second drop on that song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because
it just gets harder.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Switch back to trap.
Let me go put on my cleats.
That transition took me so long to make to get it to sound perfect to flow right back.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, what? Wait, rewind. Let's go back. Like, okay. So you dancing. And I'll be the one that you never see like. Jeez,
let me go put on my cleats. I've been run through the streets.
Hey, let me have a tea. This awesome
one to go call the police. Down.
That's dirty.
Just put a hydrogen whip on a leash.
Oh my god. Down.
Trying to make sure that I leave a good world for my niece.
That bass just me. Oh my god.
Yeah, we reworked that to make it a little bit more hot.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit more bang harder.
Going overseas. It's just one night. I'ma bring the whole fleet with me. Play this in a club for me, for me, for me. Play this in a club for me, for me, for me.
Oh, and it's back. And it's back. Holy shit. Is it normal to sweat out blood?
I don't know.
The old school Baltimore club hands chop.
Yeah, that hands chop is crazy. This reminds me so much of, like, the K-Swift days.
Yeah, that's exactly what my sound is. I try to bring back the old school club with a new vibe. It's got the little John Watts in there.
Yeah.
Yes. Because you don't hear that anymore these days.
You don't.
You literally
And it's funny that you said that, because I was playing a after party Saturday night, and I dropped this track, and this dude comes over. He's like, man, that's like them old school Baltimore club vibes. Like, I fuck with that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you made that? I was like, yeah. He was like, you got to keep making shit because you're going to be putting Baltimore back on the map.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, stuff like that, I'd really take that to heart.
Cause yeah.
People know. Like, they're people that know club music know that that's the old school vibes.
Yeah.
And that's what we did with the EP that we have coming out. It's old school club music.
Yeah.
Like, it's a mixture between Jersey and Baltimore club. And, you know, I wanted to put it out on this label, Club Jersey label, but I couldn't justify doing that because it's not Jersey Club. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a mixture of Jersey, Philly, and Baltimore Club all into one. So it's something new. It's something different that people haven't heard. And it also has some house vibes in it, which is kind of cool.
Could you describe the difference for our listeners? Like, what's the difference between Jersey Club, Baltimore Club, house? You know?
So Baltimore Club is, you know, a little bit more soulful. It has a lot of breaks, and what breaks are is kind of it's like a percussion kind of breakdown.
Okay.
So it has a lot of percussion in it. You know, the Jersey Club has a really good kick and bass, you know, that's very catchy, and that's what you just heard is the bump, 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 bump. And it just bounces the vibe, gets you in the mood, you know. A lot of the songs have the same kind of beat pattern. They switch it up sometimes, but with Baltimore Club, the beat pattern is kind of always different. You know, it's more fast paced, a little bit more faster. Philly Club, you know, I'm not too keen on Philly Club because I haven't really dabbled in it that much. But, you know, it branched off of both Baltimore and Jersey Club.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a fusion of both. You know, it bounces. It's got the soulful feel, you know, but not too many people make Philly Club anymore. So I feel like, you know, I hate to say it's dying off, but I mean, it's just, you know, there's no one out there doing it. Everybody, you know, either making Jersey or Baltimore. And, you know, I hate to say it, but Jersey is a little bit more hotter than Baltimore right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why with my music, I'm trying to bring back that Baltimore feel, you know,
right,
to make Baltimore more dominant. Because you got people like DJ Slink out there signed the Skrillex label, you know, playing Jersey Club, and they're getting the recognition for club music.
Right.
And honestly, it started in Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Shout out to Baltimore.
Shout out to Baltimore.
I think it's so funny when, like, people come to Baltimore and they're like, Baltimore. They, like, pronounce the T.
Like, yeah. It's like, it's Baltimore.
Baltimore.
It just sounds better. It sounds like, I don't know. It's exactly how you would expect the Tello to taste.
Baltimore?
You're like, I see it. I know exactly how that's going to taste in my mouth. Yeah, Baltimore. That's exactly how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a in there.
It's like, Baltimore. You live in Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Hey, man, where are you from? Baltimore?
Yeah.
Isn't that where they had those riots?
Where the Wire was made.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh my God. I honestly hate leaving this town and telling anybody that I'm from Baltimore because of that. Because,
that's true.
Because it's so annoying. It's like, oh, where the Wire is? It's like, yo, I people yes. out there. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but like, just that's not the only thing. Yeah. That's not the only thing, you know?
It's not that bad.
It's, I mean, it's there really are good not parts that bad. Out there. There's actually great parts of Baltimore, and people yeah. always forget about that. Yeah. You know?
We have a really stinky harbor and shit, dude. Yeah. It stinks.
Yo, we got some other tracks from you. Yeah. We got, like, what, 695?
695, yeah. Midnight Club. Midnight Club. That's the self-titled, yeah. Those are the EP tracks that are coming out okay. soon.
Walk Away was one of my favorite ones.
Walk Away's hot. That was, you know, and it's so funny. That song blew up, and it was honestly something I made just experimental, and I did not expect really? It to blow up the way it did. I think it's at like 1K, something over 1K. Like,
yeah, 1.243.
Yeah, I thought it was only going to do maybe like 200, 300. Like, it was just something cool. I found this genre, you know, I didn't really know anything about it. I just listened to the song. I was like, oh, it's hot. It's called Nightcore. And all it is just a sped up version of a track. It's like it goes from like maybe like 130 BPM to like 160, so super fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this is so high. Like, it would sound cool with the club vibe on it. So yeah. I put a spin on it.
Tight.
Oh shit.
Uh oh, here it comes. I already know. Yeah, I can definitely feel the bounce we're talking about with the jersey.
I don't know why, but this reminds me of Kingdom Hearts.
That's exactly what I was going for. You know that anime feel?
Yeah.
Anime.
So anime is such a very common theme with the show.
I think it's because of the fact that we all watch the same shit on Toonami from 3 to 5 p.m. in the 90s to the early 2000s, and then Toonami got cut off the air, and then we were just like, well,
what do I do with my life now?
What do I do?
Where do I find anime?
Exactly. So then everybody was like, okay, Adult Swim, we have Crunchyroll, we have all these other anime platforms, and then Toonami came back. For the younger generation, they're acting like, you know, my little brother thinks that it's like the first time Toonami's come out. He's like, this shit is ours. This is the 2000 babies. Nah, we get that.
No, that was us.
Tom was my best friend.
Yeah. They brought that back for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Please come back.
Yeah.
And then Adult Swim. I remember that shit. That shit was tight too. And then they started playing anime late night on Adult Swim for a little bit.
This is the first time I saw Boondocks, and I was like confused because I was like, I see a black anime. What the fuck is that? And it's based out here in Maryland. Yeah, which is also crazy as well.
The guy that runs it, Magruder.
Yeah, Aaron Magruder.
Yeah, he went to my high school.
Yeah, Oakland.
Yeah. Oakland Mills, dog. OMHS, baby.
So it's kind of crazy because music and anime has been blending together over the last, like, decade.
It's just art.
Really hard.
I have a lot of people that hit me up, DM, asked me to, like, remix anime theme songs.
Yeah.
This dude, like, hits me up, like, almost every week, like, hey, can you remix the Naruto opening theme? I didn't ignore him. I was like, I'll try. Like, and I honestly did try. It's so hard. Like, it's just, there's not much to go off of, you know? You don't have, like, the stems to kind of just get the different instruments by themselves, so.
Oh, gotcha.
It's not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
if you're listening to this, it's not gonna happen.
Sorry, bro.
Sorry.
Well, what animes do you like?
Man, so many, you know? Yeah. You know, the classics, Samurai Champloo, you know? Dragon Ball Z, that's the first one I got into.
Wonder something funny. My mom actually started getting into Dragon Ball Z when we started watching it. She was like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. You know,
like, what's going to happen next week?
The buildup.
Yeah, the buildup was
so
crazy.
What else do you list? I'll watch?
You know, Dragon Ball Super. Finish that.
Oh, yeah. I'm still catching up. Yeah. Shame on me.
They did a good job on bringing that back.
Gotcha.
I can't complain about that. Just got into Naruto, honestly. I'm on Shippuden now.
Oh, wow.
But, I think I'm like 300 episodes deep.
I'm getting there. Are you using the filler list? So this
No, I'm just going all the way through on Crunchyroll.
Get through it with the filler list. You can't be just watching all 900 episodes.
I'm going to do it.
That's nuts. Jesus. Yeah. Do you know what filler lists are?
No.
So anime, they normally run off of the manga, which is like the comic book, right? And so essentially... The manga is like really good at first for the first 2-3 books, and then somebody's like, here's my money, make an anime out of this. Mm-hmm. And the anime will get a lot of attention, and then it'll catch up to the book. So they're like, well, what the fuck do we do now? So what they'll do is they'll make side stories or side like plots, so this way they can keep that the show going and then have the manga catch up.
And oh, fuck.
Yeah, so sometimes that's good. Like Naruto, they had the Itachi series. So it's like they had a whole series just on the background of one of the villains and come to find out he wasn't a villain the whole time. Yeah. And whoever doesn't know that, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, sorry. We got to put like a spoiler alert button.
Right. We really do. But the thing is that they explained like why he's actually not a villain, why he's a good guy, and they didn't have that in the manga. That's something that's cool. That's something I want to actually watch.
Yeah.
But then there's other things where they'll have like Naruto fishing for like 8 episodes. And you're like, who gives a fuck about this? It's exactly why Bleach actually is one of the worst animes of all time now.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Yeah, it's because it started off really good. They caught up to the manga. They were like, fuck it, let's do fillers. And then that's all they did. They were just fillers. And it was like hundreds of episodes of fillers. Then they got back to the main plot. And you were so confused because you're like, what am I watching again?
Wait, who are you? Exactly. Who am I?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, and the worst part is that most fillers, they act like it never happened. So when they get back to the original plot, they're like, all the stuff you just watched, you might as well have just
ignored. Goku's back.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it is. Like,
that's funny, dude.
Yeah.
No. I watched that one movie, Akira.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, that shit.
It's next level.
Next fucking level, dude.
Exactly.
I watched this like YouTube video on it first before I saw it, and like they went through the detail about how many fucking layers of like backdrops they had to draw for this one 2-second scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, dude.
And you know,
and the bikes were tight as shit.
That's what's actually most interesting about anime is literally that they have to draw every single little thing. And the reason why a lot of cartoons these days is actually getting more and more generic, like you'll notice that the cartoons look exactly the same, is because it's all computer generated. They just use the same exact program. Ooh. So it's like when an artist actually spends time just drawing it out, that's, you know, a whole different thing. Kanye was actually inspired by Akira. Remember the song Stronger?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with Daft Punk. Yeah, that whole video is actually inspired by that whole movie because he's a huge anime fan.
So was Daft Punk. Daft Punk had an entire album. All the music videos were all anime with blue people.
So, yeah, blue people. I remember the blue people. I thought they were blue. I really thought Daft Punk for the longest time was blue.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, when I fucking first heard that shit on Nickelodeon, because you know they used to like Nicktoons, like they used to play the tune, like the music. Mm-hmm. I saw these blue people and I heard the song and I was like, Daft Pink! What is that pink? Because like, it was like the last part of it. I was like, for the rest of my life, until I heard that song again one more time, I was like, what the fuck was that song? The internet wasn't out really, and I couldn't like look it up. So I was just like spending my entire life like searching for this one song. And then I heard it on the radio. I was like, here it is. And then it was just like, this shit's fucking bomb.
Dude, what inspires you? I mean, we've been talking about this anime stuff and everything like that, but like now that you've got the new Petty Penguin out, you know, you got all of this out. My question is like, what is the path? What inspires you now these days for your music?
Man, inspire me now. You know, honestly, it's just a grind to move up because I feel like I've done so much already locally that right now I'm just trying to get more known nationally. You know, I have, you know, on SoundCloud, there's this app where you can look up your stats and everything.
Really?
Yeah. Like so an analytics thing? It goes real in depth. You know, I mean, I pay for top SoundCloud account, so I can see a lot of stats. You know, you can see the different nations, the different areas that people listen to your music. I'm finally getting, you know, people listening in Australia, UK, you know, Japan, got Canada. Japan is number 3 on my top people that listen to my music right now.
Wow.
And Canada is number 2. So it's like, you know, my music is finally, you know, getting out there to, you know, other places. And that's the whole goal, is to get out there, you know, get booked for festivals and stuff. I got booked for a festival recently, but unfortunately the weather, you know, canceled that. It was actually last weekend. But, yeah, it is what it is. You know, hopefully, you know, more opportunities come up like that.
Sure.
But, yeah, that's really my biggest goal right now, is just to take this further than just, you know, the DMV.
You're right.
Get out of here. You know, I'm going to keep banging out music. You know, everything that inspires me. Like, I got the Zelda. I love Zelda.
Right.
That's why I'm doing that remix. You know, the club EP is just dope, you know, Kyle Quest, you know, he gave me the idea of, you know, Midnight Club. You know, he when he showed me, the first track we worked on wasn't the self-titled one, Midnight Club. It was a club, well, we called it Club Thing. And we ended up renaming it 695. And he told me, you know, the vibe behind that was like kind of video games, late night driving, chilling down, you know, driving on 695 at nighttime, coming back from the club or going to the club. Either way, you know, it's just good vibes. And that's kind of what the music is about. That's what inspires me, is just to get people in their feels, you know, feeling the music, you know, just like when we played Ghost, you know, just you feel it. You feel the music. And that's the goal behind it. It's just to get some people to feel the music and respect it.
Yeah,
that's real, man.
That's the type of music I like the most. Yeah, shit that makes you feels.
Yep, and it's not just generic. You know, I don't want to go down the generic path. I know with producing club music and trying to put out club music is probably not going to get me, you know, out to where I want to be as fast, because it's not as known. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm not going to go back and make this generic music just to get seen. Yeah. A lot of people are on this wave right now, and it's called a rhythm. You know,
rhythm.
Yeah, it's rhythm. It's a very interesting genre. It's kind of like a hybrid off of dubstep. It's very choppy. But, you know, that's what's getting booked right now. You know, headliners, rhythm. They play rhythm.
Rhythm.
Yeah.
Is and it a different way of saying rhythm?
No, it's a rhythm.
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 Yep.
Okay.
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
But, yeah, that's what's hot right now. And, you know, a lot of people are hopping on that wave and, you know, infusing kind of their genres and their brands into rhythm. I made some Jersey rhythm, you know, it's kind of an infusion just for when I play out live to get, you know, because I play after people or before people, you know, some people play rhythm before me and whatnot. So, you know, I want to transition out of rhythm into Jersey or Baltimore, you know, so I had this hybrid that I made. So it's kind of cool, but I'm not going to be putting that stuff out. Like, it's just for my use. For transitioning in sets. I don't want people to have this. Oh, man, I want to play this song. No, I don't want people playing it out live. Oh, wow. That's not what I want.
No, I think it's interesting as like an artist, you're just like, well, this is like for me. This is like my hobby that I'm going to just keep on playing with. But then this is what I'll put out for you guys. Yeah, that's really
interesting. A lot of DJs and producers do that. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys know, you know, they'll make specific things for when they play out live, and they really won't share it with too many people.
Sure.
It's, you know, most of the time they put it out, it's normally called a VIP track, because that's like their personal, you know, something that they made for themselves, but they decided to release it.
Yeah.
Normally it's just more mashups, like, you know, the Jersey rhythm. Some people do like house music and the trap, you know. It's just kind of to get the two brand the genres together for when they're playing out live, so they can go into a different genre.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I've been to a couple raves back in my heyday. Which was funny, dude. That was a fun time of my life. But there were some songs that I was listening to that I couldn't find on their fucking SoundCloud. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck was that song, dude?
Yeah.
And I would, like, record it on my phone, and then I'd be like, dude, this is the shit I want to listen to. And then I'd never reached out to him and be like, hey, can I get this song?
Yeah.
Do those VIP tracks ever, like, land on any albums? Or
no. Generally speaking, yeah, normally you're just going to find that on their SoundClouds, you know, sometimes. Because most of the time it's remixes of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be careful with some of that stuff, because it's really easy to get flagged on SoundCloud for remixes.
Oh.
You know, like, you remix a Drake song, it's hard as shit to get that on SoundCloud.
Wait, but I thought that's the whole point of SoundCloud.
It is, but they still flag stuff. You would think that by now they would have some kind of system to, you know, allow remixes and pay the right royalties for people to be able to post remixes. They still don't have something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get caught with, you know, they have some analyzer to analyze the tracks and be like, oh, this is Drake's song, so we're going to flag that. No, don't flag that.
Gotcha.
And then you get a strike on your account. I actually had an old account when I was zero, and I was putting out remixes, and it got flagged 3 times. You get flagged 3 times, your account's done.
Forever.
Wow. Yep. So I lost a lot on that account. Just had to rebuild.
Holy shit. Yeah.
So damn. I definitely don't play around with that anymore. Wait. I upload privately. So if it gets flagged, I see it before it's out. And then I don't think you get penalized if it's privately.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Gotcha. Wait. So when they take down your whole account, but then they keep your music as well?
You know, I never looked up my old account. I think it's gone now. But it was still up there like a couple of months later. You just couldn't do anything to it. Couldn't log in. You couldn't change stuff. Yeah. It's just a dead account.
Just a dead account.
Yeah.
Wow.
All the followers and everything. A lot of people I know lost their accounts because of stuff like that.
Okay.
And had to rebuild.
Oh,
crazy. That's why people don't like SoundCloud that much anymore. You know, it's such a good outlet, but they're just not going in the right direction.
Yeah. Sure. And they've been struggling for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is that their interface itself is just poop. Like, with all the money that they've been getting over the years, you would think that they would get better with the developers to actually make the app look better and feel more user-friendly. Because if my mom ever, like, grabbed my phone and was like, what's this app? She would never know how to navigate it.
Oh, no.
You know, but sound, like, you would have to know SoundCloud to use SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Because, like, for the longest time, I just stopped using it altogether myself.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Hop on the Spotify wagon.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Exactly.
And that's the other thing, too. If Spotify would allow you to do what SoundCloud allows DJs and producers to do,
it would just.
Spotify would blow. Like, really? SoundCloud would probably be obsolete. Because Spotify pays royalties. You know, SoundCloud is very hard to get paid royalties on there.
Yeah.
You have to be selected through SoundCloud to get paid royalties. Yeah, you can't just
like
sign up.
Like a YouTube partner kind of deal?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Spotify, you know, if you get a certain amount of plays, you get royalties. You know, it is what it is. They don't have any regulations that much on it. So I'm in the process of trying to get verified for Spotify and Apple Music. That takes forever.
Yeah. How does one get verified? I've been trying to figure out.
I actually went through like this side company. I forget the name. I'll have to look it up. But they pretty much kind of do it for you. And they put you, you know, they get your account up on Apple Music and Spotify. And then like all you do is edit it and run it yourself. They just kind of help the process to get you on there. And but yeah, it just takes time. Like, especially with trademarks, because you have to trademark a lot of stuff. Mm. Because with Spotify and Apple, you got to make sure, like, that's you. Like, right. They don't want any lawsuits. Yeah.
Yeah, one guy that I listened to recently, he's been making music since, like, 2012. And he finally got on Apple Music, which was, like, huge for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, dude, I've been listening to your shit on SoundCloud and Spotify. Like, and he doesn't have a whole lot of stuff on Spotify either.
Yeah.
He releases all of his EPs on, like, SoundCloud shit.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's tight. Yeah, I mean I'm not really in it for the money, you know. It'll come eventually, but that's why I don't really mind putting my stuff out on SoundCloud with free downloads. Like, I was trying to get my music out there, you know.
Yeah, I've been seeing you post. It's like, hey, like, you have hundreds and hundreds of beats. And the last computer that we were talking about earlier, I mean, when I saw a status saying it's like thousands of songs are gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. When I was transferring over to my new laptop, I don't know how it happened, but my whole iTunes on my old laptop just like crashed. And I went to start it back up, and it was like it had to go in this recovery mode. You know, it told me that all these things were lost. And when I opened it up, I had no music. Like all my music was on DJing wise. Like, I had no music on there. Thank God for the cloud. Man, I had, because I already set up my new laptop, so it synced everything from my old one to my new one. So I had all of the music, but it was just in the cloud. It's on my new laptop. I just had to download it from the cloud.
Right.
But I didn't want that laptop to be kind of like my DJ. I just wanted it for production, and I wanted to use my old one for DJing and whatnot.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, oh, well.
Hey.
But at least I have, at least I have all my stuff. I didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Could you describe to me your writing process? Like, how does that work? Like, as a DJ, I'm like, what sounds are you looking for, generally speaking?
Man, yeah, that's tough. Like, making an original track is definitely one of the hardest things. I mean, I wouldn't say hard because, you know, you're more free. You can do what you want. But, yeah, finding that sound, man, you can be sitting there on the keyboard just playing around trying to find that melody, that right melody, and it'll just come to you. Like when me and Quest were making the Midnight Club track, we were just playing around with melodies on the keyboard, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're just like playing on a pad, and we're like, and I was like, man, that's kind of hard, you know? So then we start building over top of that. We ended up altering the pad to make it sound a little different than what it originally was. And that's the key too, is when you get sounds, you want to alter them. You want to kind of mess with them inside of the production program to make them sound different than what they are.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so that makes your sound sound a little bit more different. So if someone uses the same pad, it's not going to sound the same because we changed it. We altered it, changed the pitch, changed the tempo, put some effects on there. You know, that's really what it is. But yeah, with the writing process, I just try to find a good melody. Build on that melody, you know, find a good kick and a bass that goes well behind it. But yeah, I use a splice. Splice is key for production. Splice is pretty much you pay monthly and you get tons of sounds. Like all these DJs, producers, they got like a Sony Digital pack, they got Lex Luger pack, you know, like just banging like kicks, 808s, and just different sounds that you can get and use them in your tracks. And that's key. That is crucial for production, I think. You know, being able to be open to so many different sounds on this platform. I use that to find some melodies sometimes if I'm, you know, kind of stuck. But, yeah, I got a lot of my kicks and my basses from that. And also, you know, being in the Jersey club scene and the Baltimore club scene, a lot of people send you like sample packs and stuff. We all kind of share packs and stuff from like club music, and I got a lot of stuff from there. That's
pretty
tight.
That's pretty tight.
I'm actually selling a pack myself. Let me get some endorsement real quick.
Shout out yourself.
I have a Jersey club, you know, Jersey club and Baltimore club pack. It's got, I want to say, over 500 sounds and samples, you know. Shit. All the classic club sounds anybody would need. It's got some basses, some kicks, snares, claps, everything. And, you know, I'm only selling for like $25.
Really?
Honestly, a steal. I had tons of people I've already sold it to, and they're like, yo, you need to charge more for this. I ain't trying to make money off of it. I'm just trying to help people out. You know, that's why I'm trying to sell it on the low. But, yeah, if anybody ever needs sounds, definitely come to me, and I got you with a dope pack.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to, you know, be promoted if you don't promote yourself. And of course. And that is amazing. All right, I'm gonna probably get myself a pack.
If I ever start making music, I'm getting that pack.
It's a hot pack.
That's pretty
lit. If you want to get into club music, that's the pack to start with. It's got everything.
That's the pack. That's the pick pack. The top pick a pack of pick peppers.
What were you about to play earlier?
Oh, Midnight Club.
Midnight Club? Okay. Yeah. Let's get that on.
Let's get that jump. Let's get that going.
I vouch for you. Put my reputation on the line for you. Little partner.
This is my.
I fucking love Tokyo Drift. Favorite Fast and Furious ever.
Of course. That's the best one out.
You think the Boy Scouts?
You think the Boy Scouts?
This is what we do.
Bed Squeak.
Yeah, Bed Squeak. Shout out Bed Squeak Squad.
Hey.
Shit, dude. That 808 is like
heavy. Man, yeah, we took a long time to EQ that right. Shout out the Quest on that EQ of that 808. He hooked that up.
It's like my chest feels like it's moving without moving.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Jumping.
Dude, I feel like. Oh.
And then that chop, that's actually a race car going by.
Oh, really?
That's a chop of a race car speeding.
Wow.
The theme of Midnight Club. And then, yeah, that's the pad I was talking about, the synth in the pad.
Okay.
We kind of changed it, made it a little bit more sharper.
Wow. Damn, dude.
That's crazy.
Ooh.
Oh.
Then it comes back.
It comes back.
Rides out, you know.
Dude, I feel like I have to make a music video for my car one day and make that the fucking.
I'm telling you, that's what we're going for. If we were gonna make a music video, we probably will. It's gonna be very car heavy, you know.
Yeah.
Driving late night.
I'll
down
fucking
the road.
Do donuts, dude. Yeah. I do those.
I'll definitely have to hit you up then.
That's crazy.
It's probably gonna be a thing.
Okay, yeah. Let's see if we can make that happen because you both have nice cars.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got my little Honda Accord.
We can throw it in there.
Throw it in there in the background.
Right in the background.
Like speeding by.
Like super far, far in the background.
Oh, that's tight. So there's been a whole bunch of like drama beef between Eminem and MGK.
Let's just start here. Who do you choose, MGK or Eminem?
Of course, Eminem.
All right. Okay. All right. We can have.
I think honestly, I've maybe listened to one of MGK's songs and like honestly played it out live. It was it Wild Boy or something like that?
Yeah.
Like that's the only song I can think of.
Yeah, Wild Boy is literally the only song. It's what made him big. You know.
I've never heard another song by him since then.
Me neither. Yeah. Oh, I heard this diss after I
heard. Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course that. Yeah.
Which fucking sucked. Yeah. Compared.
Well, so did it. I want to say it sucked, but I wouldn't say that's not something you come to Eminem, you know, with.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like this generation is forgetting about 8 Mile.
That's like, what he fucking grew up on.
Like,
dude.
Exactly.
He
like,
grew up eating like, rappers.
Here's what's funny. Like, everybody forgets this. In 8 Mile, the last scene where he's like going off on the guy and just using everything that he could possibly use against him is what happened here between MGK and him. All right. I mean, he destroyed that boy's career in that movie so, like, hard that now he's the Falcon in the Avengers.
Yeah,
to change up careers. I can't be a rapper anymore. I now have to be a superhero. Like, there's no, so I don't know why there's a beef. All that happened is that I mean, Eminem, he just came out with that surprise album, yeah. Kamikaze. Kamikaze, nobody knew about it. Nobody knew it was coming out. I went on Tidal. It was the first thing that was up. I was like, well, it's, I mean, did I miss something? Yeah. I read the same thing. Yeah, it was like, you know, I read news all the time on in hip hop and everything like that. Like, I go to Complex. I go to Pitchfork. Like, I'm looking for new stuff. And the fact that, like, this kind of went by, everybody was kind of confusing. He came out with Kamikaze. He basically mentioned MGK's name. Yeah. That's all he did. He didn't actually come out with some crazy, you know, diss or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He literally just said MGK's name and was like, look, I'm not going to use any subliminals on you. I'm literally just going to just say, you suck because you're trying to emulate me.
Yeah.
And now MGK came out with Rap Devil, like, you know, a few days later. Rap Devil was okay. Had an okay hook. It wasn't a bad hook or anything like that.
It was replayable.
It was replayable. And I'm not going to say that it's not a replayable song. The video was interesting. Why were you just like with your shirt off, just rapping in like the country yard with a shuffle? Like, oh, you're going to bury Eminem. Okay. Then I think Eminem was not going to respond if he didn't mention Eminem's daughter's name.
Yeah.
You can't bring up Haley, okay? I'm not going to even talk about Haley that much because you only I like said my her life. Name
twice.
I know, it's crazy.
Be careful.
I gotta be careful. It's insane. I just don't understand why MGK thought he had the balls to go and do that. And so Eminem came for his life. Do we have one of those tracks, either Kill Shot?
Yeah,
or,
dude, I can pull that shit up.
Yeah, so Kill Shot. It's you know what? We don't have to play Rap Devil. There's no reason for us to play Rap Devil.
No.
Rap Devil. You guys could look it up if you decide that you want to do that kind of research. But basically, Eminem does the best thing that he could do. He took everything that MGK could say about him, and then just slammed it all back to him.
Rihanna just hit me on a text.
Dude.
Last night I left.
And he fucking like dropped the mic at the end.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Keep my dick in your mouth. Put my dick in your mouth and keep my girl's, my daughter's name out of it or something.
Was watching 8 Mile on my Nauta track. Realized I forgot to call you back. Here's that autograph for your daughter. I wrote it on a starter cap. Stan, son, listen.
No, I can just go through the whole song and explain it.
Yeah,
this is crazy. So, I mean, just for that one particular line, here's that autograph for your daughter. I wrote it on the starter pack. That actually comes from the song Stan back in 2000. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you know, but Stan is like what we call overly excited
fans
and stuff like that. Like, they're overly obsessed. And Eminem is the one who started that in itself.
Yeah, because so, I think like it was about like some fan that kept on writing him and shit
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, and just wouldn't stop and everything like that. So, and basically for the next few bars, Eminem is literally just calling MGK a stan, like, consistently. And just using all
stan.
Of those.
Stan.
Yeah, stan, son. Listen, man, dad isn't mad. Like, I love how like Eminem is able to just like
go up and down.
Go up and down and just do any flow that he wants. Because back in the day, Eminem just used to read dictionaries for fun. So, which is nuts. He would write all day and he would have shoeboxes of just like pads of rhymes. And then whenever he wanted to come out with a song, he would just take a random pad and just go, okay, I'll use a few lines from this.
What?
Nuts. So the fact that anybody is willing to go against Eminem makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, because he's old now. He's got probably way more pads than he did back then.
And I mean, it took him a day to make this response.
Yeah.
And you think that that's going to outdo Eminem's response?
Well, actually,
and you can't criticize him, though, for taking so long, because Eminem's going to make sure he gets his craft right, and he's going to destroy you.
Exactly.
MGK's just like, I'm just going to reply right here.
Yeah, right.
And that's why his isn't better.
Yeah, because Eminem took 11 days to come out with a response.
But he also did a bunch of interviews and shit.
Yeah, he was busy too.
Yeah, he did a 4-part interview with Sway in the morning. What else did he do? He released an album, of course.
Yeah.
He's about to go on tour. He's doing a lot. Mm-hmm. And you have MGK, who just opened for Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy, dude.
And he got screamed out. So it's crazy.
There's a difference between getting screamed out and booed out. He got booed out.
Let's play on the song.
Dad isn't mad, but how you gonna name yourself after a damn gun and have a man bun? Giant's both eyes open, undeniable
was supplying smoke, got the fire stoke. Say you got me in a scope, but you grazed me. I say one call the Interscope and you Swayze. Your reply got the crowd yelling woo. So before you die, let's see you can out petty who with your corny lines. Slimmy roll, Al Kelly, ooh, but I'm 45 and I'm still outselling you. By 29, I had 3 albums that it blew. Now let's talk about something I don't really do. Going with someone's daughter's mouth, stealing food. But you're a fucking molehill. Now I'ma make a mountain out of you.
Woo! So that part is amazing. He's literally saying, I'm going to steal food out of your daughter's mouth because you won't have a career after this song. Yeah. You're just not going to have a career after the song. And then the best line is the fact that he took the phrase, what is it? If don't make a mountain out of a molehill. And he's literally saying MGK is a molehill. And the fact that he's even responding to him, he's making a mountain out of him. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice because of the fact that it's like a person who's a wordsmith like this, you kind of have to like just appreciate because we don't have that. We have people who are able to go, hey, 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 hey. And it's nice. Someone I love hype songs. Level. But it, yeah, someone right. Level, level. But and I appreciate it. But at the end of the day, it's like when you have great lyricism, I mean, you have a bunch of artists who will never go against Eminem for good reason.
Yeah.
For great reason. But
for this reason.
For this reason. For this reason. But one of my favorite lines is actually coming up.
Ho, chill, acting like you put the chrome barrel to my bone marrow. Gonna bitch you ain't a bow and arrow. Say you run up on me like a phone bill. Spraying lead, playing dead. That's the only time you hold still.
Oh my God. That's just so loaded.
It's hard.
That is so loaded because he literally says, it's like, you know, you're not going to put a gun to my head. It's not going to happen. You're barely a bow and arrow yourself because
that was fucking tight.
That is crazy that you could have.
I heard that the second time I listened to it.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, dude, you ain't even a gun, dude. You're a pea shooter, dude.
And then there's those moments where Eminem like does like double entendres and everything, and he literally says, say you'll run up on me like a phone bill, spraying lead, playing dead. That's the only time you hold still. So that particular line is literally saying spraying lead is bullets and penmanship with a pencil. So he's like,
he's good.
Yeah, he's great. But then he goes further and says, you're playing dead as in like the only time that you hold still in the sense of like holding a gun is when you're playing dead. So you don't hold guns. You are the one who's getting gunned down. Mm. Crazy. Who the fuck would think of something like that? Like
Eminem. This,
these are the reasons why I would never become a rapper. Because there's people like that out there who make the job hard. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Like, MGK is like that dude who's at the YMCA who has a really nice layup and a really nice dunk. And he thinks he can go, like, out shoot LeBron or something like that. And it's like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
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 We got to
finish. Are you eating cereal or oatmeal? What the fuck's in the bowl, milk? Wheaties or Cheerios? Cause I'm taking a shit in them, Kelly. I need reading material. Dictionary. Yo, Slim, your last 4 albums suck. Go back to recovery. Oh, shoot, that was 3 albums ago. What do you know? Oops. Know your facts before you come at me, little goof. Luxury, oh, you broke, bitch. Yeah, I had enough money in 02 to burn it in front of you, ho. Younger me, no, you'd have whacked me. It's funny, but so true. I'd rather be 80-year-old me than 20-year-old you.
Damn.
Till I'm hitting old age, still can fill a whole page with a 10-year-old's rage. Got more fans than you in your own city, little kitty, go play. Feel like I'm babysitting Lil Tay. Got the ditty okay, so you spent your whole day.
Now we know he's hip.
Just to fucking dig your own grave, got you at your own wake. I'm the Billy Goat, you ain't never made a list. Next in-
He called himself the Billy Goat. I've never heard of that before, which is nuts. He literally said he's the goat of white rappers. The Billy Goat.
The Billy Goat.
Oh.
I've never heard of that before. Yeah. I was laughing so hard when I first heard that. Like, it's nuts that he made a new genre. Now there's a new stand now. Now it's Billy Goats, okay?
That's funny.
It's amazing. And the fact that he's still hip on Lil Tay, and Lil Tay's in jail. But
really?
Yeah, Lil Tay, he came out with a really hit song. I can't remember what the song is. Was it
The Race? It wasn't The Race, right?
It is The Race. It is The Race. Yeah.
Wait, so. Lil Tay, the little 9-year-old that was...
I mean, he's not 9. He looks 9. No. But he's not.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
Wait.
Talking about that little white boy?
No, that little white girl that's like, I'm fucking stunned. Blah, blah, blah. That's Lil Tay.
Oh, that's Lil Tay. That's who he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. That's probably
it. That's who he's talking about. Yes.
Yeah. You guys are here. Yeah.
That's why we're here.
No, dude, I like follow a lot of memes online and shit like that. So I'm like, I'm pretty hip with the memes.
Yeah, hip with the memes.
It's a fucking sad quote.
That makes sense, babysitting Lil Tay.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Right.
No Biggie, no Jay next to Taylor Swift and that Iggy Ho. You about to really blow, Kelly. They'll be putting your name next to Cha, next to Benzino. Die, motherfucker, like the last motherfucker saying Haley in vain, alien. witnessed. Yeah.
He then brings up all the people he buried in the past.
Yeah.
Which is just nice. And bring back.
Bury them all.
My biggest flops are your greatest hits. The game's mine again, and ain't nothing changed but the lock. So before I slay this bitch, I'm gonna give Jade a kiss. Gotta wake up Labor Day to this. Being rich, shamed by some prick, using my name for clickbait in a state of bliss. Cause I said his goddamn name. Now I gotta cock back aim. Yeah, bitch, pop champagne to this. It's your moment. This is it. That as big beat, as you're gonna get, right? So enjoy it. Had to give you a career to destroy it. Lethal injection, go to sleep 6 feet deep. Give you a beat for the effort, but if I was 3'11", you'd look up to me, and for the record, you would suck a dick to fucking be me for a second. Lick a ball sack to get on my channel. Give your life to be a...
I think the way he alliterates...
Yeah.
And like, and yeah. I don't know, just fucking... He's really good.
It makes it stand out.
Yeah.
It
does.
And it's really different. Does. And it makes you realize that, like, shit, he really knows how to move words around.
Yeah. Because that's,
sorry.
No, it's fine. That's because that's what rapping is. Rapping is not just about lyricism. It's also about delivery, which is why there's so many Drake fans, because, you know, you don't have to necessarily write your shit to be a rapper these days or an entertainer. Sure. But at the same time, Drake is able to deliver it.
Well, I mean, you saw MGK didn't write his diss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghost wrote it.
Yeah.
Somebody else wrote it.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy. I don't understand. Don't understand that. Wait, do you know who wrote his
diss? I don't. I saw it online. I didn't know.
It was on the Wikipedia page.
It's official.
Yeah, it's official. Yeah, somebody else wrote his rhymes.
And I think it's funny that he used, what was it, the Rap Guy beat?
Yeah.
And the guy that produced Rap Guy produced Eminem's this right here.
Exactly.
That's tight.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, you're using the same producers. Oh, this is like manufacturer. Producers can go wherever.
Oh, that, yeah.
I love your field because you can do whatever the fuck you want.
It doesn't
you can
mean go I'm taking sides.
Yeah, you exactly. Beat, I got you. You're basically the arms dealer.
Yeah, exactly.
of the whole thing. Yeah, it's actually pretty amazing. Yeah. No.
Tight.
This motherfucking shit is like Rambo when he's out of bullets. So what good is a fucking machine gun when it's out of ammo? Had enough of this tatted up mumble rapper. How the fucking him and I battle? He'll have to fuck him in my flannel. I'll give him my sandals cause he knows long as I'm shady, he's gonna have to live in my shadow. Exhausting, letting off on my offspring like a gun barrel, bitch, get off me. You dance around it like a...
So, did you understand he'll have to fuck him in my flannel?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so he throughout the whole song he keeps on mentioning that MGK is basically him, or he's trying to become him. So he's like saying, you will have to fuck my ex-wife in my flannel just to become me.
Yeah.
And throughout, I mean, all of Eminem's discography, I mean, he's made it very clear that Kim is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, in his words, sure. You know, but but yeah, I mean, the thing is that throughout this whole song he will make it very clear, it's like, you are the worst part of me. You're exactly what, like, I knew that people were going to try to become me and everything, but you're exactly.
You're becoming
what,
the old me that sucked.
Exactly. Like, he's a reboot of, like, Ghostbusters.
Yeah, like, he's like the fucking, he's trying to be Squirtle when he's at Blastoise.
Exactly.
Sombrero, we can all see you're fucking salty, cause young Gerald's balls deep inside a Halsey. Your red sweater, your black leather, you dress better, I rap better, than a death threater. A love letter. Little white toothpick thinks it's over a pick. I just don't like you, prick. Thanks for dissing me. Now I had an excuse on the mic to write, not a light. But really, I don't care who's in the right. But you're losing the fight you pick. Who else?
Wanted that's gotta Kells suck.
Attempt. Yeah.
You're losing the fight that you picked.
Yeah. That's embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing. And the funny thing is that he's like, I now he actually has an excuse for the song that he put out, not a like. On Kamikaze, and it's just funny because he was like, I was just kind of just doing that for shits and giggles. I didn't
he's just venting.
Yeah. I'm just venting. That's all I was doing. I wasn't actually like trying to come for anybody. It's just like, this is how I make my music. So the fact that you actually came back after me, so, I mean, and it's funny because
talk to me like that, I'm MGK.
Yeah. And it's funny because he came after Budden, and Budden knows that there's no way that he can actually go against them, which is why he only talked about him during his podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to meet bars with bars. You can't just come out and just go, oh, Eminem sucks, and I'm done with him. And it's like, that's it? You're going to just talk about him? That's all? Yeah. It makes no sense.
Fails, button, L's, fucking nails. In these coffins, they're soft as cotton nail. Kill shot, I will not fail. I'm with the doc still. But this idiot's boss pops pills and tells him he's got skills. But Kells, the day you put out a hits, the day Diddy admits that he put the hit out, they got pop kill.
And I'm sick of you being. And that's a line. He should have just ended the song there. There's no way of coming back from that.
That's, yeah.
That's it.
That would have been perfect.
Because the thing is that on podcast after podcast, interview after interview, people have been trying to get Diddy to admit the fact that he got Pac killed. We all know it. We don't want to talk about it, but we all know it. So the thing is that, like, we know that you made a lot of money off the deaths off of Biggie and Pac. We know this. But, I mean, now that that's a thing, he will never admit it, clearly, because it's murder. And and the thing is that now MGK, the only way that he will actually put out another hit outside of Wild Boy is if Diddy destroys a billion-dollar industry by coming out and saying that he murdered Tupac. So you have to understand, it's like, how would, and also, you don't come after Diddy. He owns Ciroc. He owns so many things where he's making so much money that he could ruin us. Like, he could ruin us where we could never. Like, Diddy, you're amazing. You're a wonderful human being.
I know whose song I'm not remixing.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, the thing is that
Diddy, if you want to come on the show, let me know.
Yeah, you're right. Right, right. And you know what? Honestly, I was just joking about that whole murder thing. I just want to make that very clear. I don't think you did it at all. I'm sorry. But the thing is, at the end of the day, it's like you can't come after Eminem and think that he can't come after everybody else. He came after Budden in the song randomly. He came after
fucking everyone.
Everyone.
You know, it's gotta feel good when you're a rapper and Eminem doesn't name drop you. Like, okay, yeah, I'm doing something right.
In fact, in Kamikaze, he even said, like, hey, J. Cole and Kendrick, I like them.
And Hobson. And Hobson, too.
And Hobson.
Because, and then I saw the video of Hobson when he heard him. He's like, he knows my name!
Right?
Exactly. Which means, like, all these rappers that are, like, really fucking good look up to Eminem. And then you have this mumble rapper, like, goofy goof. Yeah. Fucking trying to be a cool kid, but he ain't.
I'm waiting for that Little Pump diss.
Oh, yeah,
I'm trying to see Little Pump come at Eminem.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
To go a few lines before, he says, you're fucking salty because Young Gerald's balls deep in Halsey. So Halsey and G-Eazy actually broke up for a little bit, and MGK came out and said that Halsey and him fucked, and then G-Eazy and him got back, and Halsey got back together. They actually came out in concert together. But what's interesting is that Halsey isn't saying anything. So I was like, did that really happen? I don't really know. I don't know why he would actually come out and say something like that. It doesn't matter. But G-Eazy's on Eminem's side, and they came out on a picture on Instagram.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And they're just like, the middle fingers up. And it's crazy because it's like, G-Eazy, he's great. And honestly, he's the white version of Travis Scott. He knows how to get people together, knows how to make great music. And the thing is that why would you come after people that look like you and rap like you? Why don't you just fucking make a community and rap better than everybody else? Eminem is one of the greatest rappers alive, probably the best lyricist alive, which is why nobody goes against them. Why the fuck would you say anything to him or try to break up the community? We just lost Mac Miller. White rappers are losing out right now. Yeah. Why are we doing this?
Like, he's a clout chaser, dude. That's what everyone's fucking doing right now. They're just chasing clout.
That's not a lie.
It's not a lie at all. I mean,
everyone. Nicki Minaj did it. Yeah. Fucking Tekashi 6ix9ine built his entire brand off of
it. I've had people that I fuck with way back, and they don't really fuck with me no more because they're too cloudy.
They're too cloudy.
They got too much clout now to fuck with me.
Yeah, and that happens. And it's weird because the thing is that it's like once that level breaks, people kind of forget where the fuck they came from.
Yep.
And Eminem consistently brings up that, you know, I come from 8 Mile. Like, I have money. I'm going to wear sweats all the time, which is why he said, it's like, hey, you dress better. I rap better. Like, it doesn't even matter, you know? It doesn't matter at all. Oh, you mentioned my beard is weird? I still rap better. Like,
Your beard's weird.
That's not even a good line.
I think it's cool that he like fucking made fun of, like, he actually used lyrics and made fun of like the song, like MGK's diss in the song is pretty tight.
And that's what the 8 Mile theme is. It's like, I will take all your words, bring it, like, use them, like literally what you do. You take music, you chop it up, and you just go, I'm going to make it better.
Yeah.
And that's what Eminem does with his words on a regular basis. And that's what's so amazing about him. And then
Just play it out.
Yeah, whack,
I'm
still using that motherfucking auto-tune, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I'm sick of your mumble rap mouth. Need to get the cock about it before we can even talk about it. Talk about it. I'm sick of your blonde hair and earrings. Just cause you look in the mirror and think that you're Marshall Mathers. Marshall Mathers. Don't mean you are and you're not about it. So just leave my dick in your mouth and keep my daughter out it. You fucking.
Oh. And I'm just playing, Diddy. You know I
love you. You know I love you. You have to say that. You definitely have to say that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Just make sure. Just kidding. Exactly.
That's tight.
Dude, I definitely want to hear another song from you again, just so I can just crank out, because that was a little heavy. You know? That was a little heavy for me.
That was pretty deep.
That was a lot of deep conversation about Eminem.
Good vibes.
But let's get back on those good vibes.
Go ahead and play 695. That's the other song off the EP.
No, I'm going to play that. Oh, wait. Pause. We're probably going to end it after this song. Straight. So how do people find you? How do we plug you?
Yeah, man. SoundCloud/Petty Penguin. You know, pretty simple. Nothing crazy. Search on Facebook, Petty Penguin. You know, if you want to friend me for real, that's fine, too. If you find me on Facebook, I'll add you. We're cool.
Hey.
Just don't send me SoundCloud links without talking to me first.
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Instagram is x_petty.penguin. And, yeah, that's about all my links, you know. So I'm sure it'll be linked in the podcast or whatever.
And you got a new EP coming up?
Yep, EP's coming out soon. Really not sure when it's coming out. Maybe the end of this month. Maybe beginning of October.
Well, when
definitely going to be the fall.
When it does come out, then all you have to do is send us a link. We'll have that on the White Chocolate Show Instagram.
Appreciate it.
This way we can put that out for a week.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, we're going to have on our page, we'll have Petty Penguin's Instagram in our bio. We'll make sure that we have links to his SoundCloud in our bio, so this way you guys have an easy access to that. You don't have to worry about that at all, and you know we can just find you immediately.
Yeah,
all
right. Much love.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day you bring a Quest out here. You know,
yeah,
dude of mine. Definitely, he's got some good insight. He'd be a good interview. So,
I'll see if I hook that up. Of course. Yeah. Love it. So let's play 695. Let's play it out. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.